Pasuk says, Yanisa v'yamarta, you will say before Hashem, I took all of the holy portions from my house, I've given it to the lady, to the ger, the stranger, the orphan and the widow, in accordance with all your commandments that you commanded me. I have not transgressed your mitzvos, nor have I forgotten them. The Torah here is describing what we call the vidui maaser, the statement to a Kadosh Baruch Hu that I've done what's appropriate with regard to the tithe. The mitzvah of declaring that doing what was necessary with regards to trumos and maisros. And then the question is, what is this add-on, v'lo shachachti, and I didn't forget? Rashi says, I didn't forget to make the appropriate bracha when I set aside these gifts. So the Rosner says, many of the Mephorshim are puzzled. They say, we know that all brachas, except for one or two, being the first bracha of benching and maybe the one on the Torah, right, are deraisa. Everything else, brachas, are derabbanan. They're from the rabbis, and that's why we can have a concept, saval, sofek brachas lekula. If I don't remember, if I made a bracha, I don't make it over. So what's Rashi talking about? Rav Mordechai Eliyahu says, technical details and specific formulas of brachas, that structure is minirabbanan, it's rabbinic. But the notion that one must appreciate and express hakaras hatov of appreciation for that wish HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given them, that, he says, is a mitzvah d'oraisa. This is a Torah mitzvah. One must always acknowledge the toiv, the good that comes from Hashem. And they ask the question, does anybody think that Avram Avinu, Moshe Rabbeinu, David HaMelech would eat bread without making a bracha? They didn't have Hamoti Lechem in a Haaretz at that stage of the game. But they obviously had a term to praise and thank the Rabbona Shalom. So until a certain point in time, the concept of bracha existed, but the formula didn't. Chazal later set up the exact phrases, the way brachas are said today. And this is what Rashi's talking about, the concept of thanking the Rabbona Shohua. And he quotes the Rambam, right, mentions this the way, also in his Hilchos Brachas. He said, the Rabbanan created the mitzvah, the obligation to say specific brachas throughout the day. And I think they say that, right, we're supposed to try to make 100 brachas a day, to remember 100 times a day to thank the Rabbona Shel Olam for each and everything we have, for every breath and every step. He quotes the Spas Emes, who quotes the Gemara in Bracha saying, Lo shachachti, I haven't forgotten. Right? He says, the Gemara says, Lo yitzrok brachot mipiv. Don't toss out a bracha from your mouth. We need to be careful with brachas. We need to, if we're doing it properly, to stop for a minute and say, hey, what am I about to say and why am I saying it? And Rabbi Rosner talks about the reality of how life is, and he says, how many times do each of us daven Shmona Asrei on Rosh Chodesh and say, self, did I really say Yaleh V'Yavai or not? It's common. This is not, you know, a far-fetched reality. Or how many times when we start davening on Friday night, do we maybe automatically make a mistake, and after Atah Kadosh, we say Atah Choinein, right? Baruch Hashem, and there's two sides to the coin. On the one hand, it would be perfect if we could have Kavana. On the other hand, and let's give credit, it's fantastic that we are accustomed to saying the right things. That, in other words, David HaMelech said, my feet take me to learn Torah. Our mouths take us to death. So, you know, it's a two-sided coin in my view. However, as Rashi says, it would be best, and the Torah is trying to remind us, to try to exercise care, thought, when we're doing things. We can tell, right, the question, when somebody davens Shmon Esrei, we're told, try to have kavana for up to the first bracha, Magen Avraham. Try. The Gedolim realize that in itself is difficult. So somebody asked the question, well, what if I got to the end of HaMelech HaKadosh and I didn't? Should I go back? And we're told, no, don't do that, because the same issue you had at the beginning may hit you again. We are prone to ideas hitting us at different points, etc. Our minds are totally engaged 24/7. That's what life is.
How come if you forget to say Yaviyavo?
So the question is, okay, so forgetting to say Yaviyavo is that I did not say something that Chazal said I should say. So therefore, if I haven't finished, I go back to it, say, and I start over. If I went beyond there, I got to start again. With the first brachas, if I didn't do it by kavana, I did attempt to use the proper formula. It wasn't pristine, but because we're prone to having a problem again, I don't go back. That's the answer to that question. You know, and I guess the Bali Musser would tell us that now that we're in Elul, right, to the extent if we can stop for a second every so often before making a bracha, it's a great thing. It's great, you know, they say it's a great thing to accustom yourself to. But we all know that the constant issues that we deal with often overwhelm us, and that we're not the Vilna Gaon, we're not those who can, you know, we got to do the best we can. The Parsha says in one of the Psukim, Uva'u Eilecha kol habrachos Eilecha v'hisi gucha, ki shema b'koil Hashem Eilekecha. All of these brachas will come upon you, and they will reach you. if you obey the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? What if this will reach you? A bracha comes to us and it reaches us, and many of the Mefarshim try to figure out, what does this extra word mean? The Ksav Sefer says, historically, when people were needing to earn a living, they had to travel. And he said, the ultimate bracha was being able to live close to home and not have to do tremendous traveling. He says, the halacha is that we put a bracha for a host when we're invited, and Birchas Hamazon, there's a special text that says that the host should always be able to earn parnasa karov le'ir, near the city. And the Ksav Sofer says that's the bracha v'hisigucha. You're not going to have to travel afar, cross the seven seas and the deserts to earn a living. Rav Rosner brings another pshat from the Shemen HaTov. Well, he says that's Rav Bernard Weinberger who wrote this, and he says the fourth volume of the Sefer. He says that the Hisiducha, it should reach you, means that we should be showered with brachas, and they should never adversely impact us. They should reach us as we are, and not cause us to have to change. And as a rabbi, I'm sure he's seen this many times, there are often people who, Baruch Hashem, have a positive change in their financial status. And unfortunately, it can go and does go to people's egos, and they become somewhat different people. He says, this pasuk says, we want bracha, we need bracha, but with all the good and with all the additional good that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us and will give us, we should be, Ezras Hashem, remain as loyal, as honest as we were before. The notion that, you know, winning the lottery makes me meshuga and I act meshuga is not a bracha, he's saying. And he says, unfortunately, when the pendulum goes the other way and one has challenges, we pray that that too won't turn us into embittered people, right? And as he points out, in this week's Parsha, we have the repeat of the Tochacha. We have a repeat in Moshe's terms of the terrible curses Klal Yisroel were told they would encounter. And in fact, as everyone says, they have encountered. When this book was written, he says, we'll talk about the Holocaust. And I'm sure we could add today what's happened since October 7th. He says, there were tremendous tragedies, and we should never, ever, ever make light of them. He says, what happened? And he quotes one of the great people of the Friedrich Doyer, the Kleisenberger Rebbe, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. He lost a wife and I think 9 or 10 children. And what did he do? He came to America and he started over. What he says is that the Rebbe created a dynasty, and we know that, you know, hospital is part of that and other things, right? And we're told how he became the actual father to so many Yesomim right after the war. Greatness upon greatness. And he says, we're asking a Kodesh Baruch Hu that when whatever happens, we should be able to remain truthful and faithful. Rav Rosner writes, there are four people in Tanakh who Hashem calls twice. Avraham, Avram, Yaakov, Yaakov, Moshe, Moshe, and Shmuel, Shmuel. In other words, there's a time when the pasuk mentions both names twice. The Mefarshim say that, yes, this is a term of endearment, showing how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu loved these people. Every one of them was exceedingly close to Hashem, and they had brachas. But they remained the same, regardless of the changes in life. They didn't let things go to their head. He says the antithesis was Bilam, who, because he had the power of prophecy, he decided, I'm going to make this the Bilam Enterprise, Bilam Inc., and earn as much as I can. Avram, Yaakov, Moshe, Shmuel were the same humble, sensitive, caring individuals from before they became enlisted in the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in leading the Jewish people, and thereafter. They were the prime examples of the Sihisi Gucha, that the Bracha should reach us. And as the year is ending, Rabbi Rosner gives all of Klal Yisroel a Bracha. May all of Klal Yisroel merit Brachas, many Brachas, but also have the Schus to accept them properly and to have no negative effects by the good that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be Ezras Hashem do for us. In the litany of the Toichacha, of the reproof, of the prediction of the dire results of Golus, we have a pasuk that says, Tochas tachas asher oy avadeta Hashem elokecha b'simcha uv'toivu levav me'roiv toiv. You know why this happened? In part, you did not serve Hashem, your God, with happiness, with gladness of heart, at the time when you had this abundance, this, right, this great amount of materiality at your disposal. It says, after listing terrible atrocities, the Torah says, a major reason for the problem as to why these things occurred was because you didn't serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'simcha. We know we say every day, Ivdu es Hashem b'simcha, in the Mizmor L'Soda. And Rabbi Rosner, as many others, asked the question, is it really possible that something like the Holocaust arises because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was not served joyfully? Can you tell me that if the Taryag mitzvahs, the 613 mitzvahs, are done without a smile, calamity should arise? He quotes a parish called the Shalhevet Yosef. Two people can do the exact same thing, and it has different perceptions. The Gemara says one person might do great things for his parents and get punished. Someone else might even disrespect his parents and be rewarded. He said, what's the key? It's how were the acts done? What was the motivation? When something is done with a sour face and with a grunt, it loses its meaning. And even if you're driving your parents 30 miles out of your way, if you look like you're basically in the greatest pain of all, it's not appreciated. However, if a slight act is done with love, affection, and a smile, it leads to appreciation. There can be times when we've got to take that extra bit of schnapps away from our father and got to be stern about it. And the reason we do it is because it's going to interfere with the medication he just took. We did it with love and respect. And while the father doesn't like it now, there will be the proper realization later, assuming the father is of right mind. It says, if we only do mitzvahs because of obligation, and there's no feeling of excitement and happiness of being, feeling a sense of privilege to be able to do mitzvahs, it dissipates the meaning for us, right? Guf kolay neshama, it's like a body without a soul. Rabbi Lehrfeld mentioned on Sunday night the great tragic comment, he says, of the people who were some of the early pioneers to America, Shesheretz Zana Yid. All they taught their kids were, and about all, but the message was, Yiddishkeit is a burden. It's difficult. He said, if that's what the people were taught, is there any surprise at what happened, how we ended up with, as Rabbi Rakeset says, 700,000 Jews in the Bronx? And he says, he doesn't think there was a minion of Shomrei Shabbos among them. Now, that may be a little bit much, but that's the point. He says, we as bright, thoughtful people have got to apply understanding and think and concentrate on those mitzvahs we do. We've got to illustrate to ourselves, and especially to our children and grandchildren, how happy we are to go to shul, how happy we are to be able to greet the Sefer Torah coming out of the Arayin, how happy we are to hear the shofar, and how happy we are to enter our sukkah for the very first time. The Torah Tamima, he said in his commentary called Tosefet Bracha, says that worshiping Hashem without joy can't justify such harsh measures. He says, I think the pasuk means something else. It's not you didn't serve Hashem joyfully, but you didn't serve Hashem, and as a result, had a feeling of happiness, contentment. You didn't have the notion of, I achieved. He says, this was the Avera of the Jews in the time of Purim in Persia. The people, as we know, went to the Suda that Ahasuerus made, where he displayed the same self kalim, cups from the Beis Hamikdash. And they could sit there in a celebratory mood and see these items being degraded. He says the tragedies come not because our Yetzer Hara led us to succumb to our desires, or because we made a mistake and we did an Aveira. But if we enjoy that, if that becomes the thing we really enjoy, if, right, driving to the ball game on Shabbos afternoon was a Davar Shabbos Simcha, then we've got a problem. That's what, he says, is more troubling to a Kaddish Baruch. When we falter, and as many Mefarshim point out, we may fall more times than we rise, right? If we feel bad, if we recognize it wasn't the thing to do, if you say, my Yetzer Hara got me, I wish it hadn't, then we're not prone to these significant, significant punishments. He says, the moral of this is that we're not, and we shouldn't be programmed to enjoy doing an Aveira. We can accept it. If we think we're going to be perfect, you can't fool God. We're only fooling ourselves. But we should take the opportunity that when we have a mitzvah, again, as he says, stop and think and say, how fortunate am I to be able to do this? How many people couldn't do this? How many people during the Holocaust couldn't open a siddur, couldn't put on a pair of tefillin, things of that nature? And he says, if we have that appreciation, we're going to be able to do a better job in being Oved Es Hashem b'simcha, serving the Rabbeinu Shel Olam with simcha, with joy and appreciation. And he says, if we can be those kind of people, we need no longer worry about the Teichacha and its contents. Okay. Have a wonderful day, everyone.